And you have to have a rational, just leaving this, you have to have a rational quantity in your life in which you see everything in you building. You know? So it's like making, you know, for us to make a flour mill and raise, you know, 1 pound of wheat and have a 2,500 pound an hour capacity for grinding. I mean, all of you are busy creating in one side instruments, you know, while you don't have the product to put through that instrument. And what's the sense of making palaces in the air when you can't even get yourself off the ground in 50 other places? Because if you understand the nature of spirituality, everything in you has to be freed in this life, or nothing in you is freed. And so you have to understand this from the simplest level first, and that's that you either do everything, you know, with gratitude because it frees you, or you do nothing with gratitude. Does anyone have a question? Yes.
I'm aware of the energy you're giving me, but the mind says, oh, well, it's not that much. How do you become more aware of the vitality of every bit of energy?
By demanding more of yourself. I mean, you say not much on 15 other levels or 50 other levels. You say to somebody, do this, and they say no. Say, well, it's really not important, right? So you forgive them for this, and you forgive that one for this, and you let this go, and you, right? Do you understand? And it's by not demanding. And really, when we let one thing go in one area, we let a lot of other things go in other areas. You have to really not, well, you can see anything. You know, you plug the hole. I've spoken about this a month ago, that I want word given out the night before. And you say, well, it doesn't really matter. Even yourself, you keep saying that. It doesn't really matter. Right? True? Well, but you don't do it. So to you, it doesn't really matter. And, you know, it's really by seeing that everything matters, because the reason we can see a lot of things is that we are so complacent. We really forgive ourselves for so many hundreds of things that we really don't have accumulated enough energy to move to a higher place to see anything. And this is one of the greatest come downs in society today, where everyone is always sinking down to the lowest level of existence and the lowest level of achievement. And that's really why they never can see anything, because you forgive everyone for doing this and doing this and doing this and doing this. It makes it right for everyone to forgive you. But it's not forgivable for anyone to do a bad job. It really isn't. Or to leave anything around. And one of the hardest things I ever did in my life was to make a pact with myself that I would make my bed every morning. You know, this is when I first opened my business. And I used to leave my store and go back to the house and make my bed. And, you know, if somebody was beating me with a chain, they couldn't have had a harder effect on me than this thing had. And you have to begin to pick small things which you don't do, you know, and do it and really brutalize yourself with it. Who else knows you as much as you know yourself? Right? And you have to really do this. You have to really make certain things. You have to rate them like major crimes. And you'll see, you know, it sounds stupid. These are all stupid, petty little things. But when you really force yourself in a situation where you have to do that, you know, it will become a major crime. You'll do almost anything in the world but want to do these things, you know. And it's making a list of what you find you must produce in a given day. Talk to people for 6 more months about moving the wood pile, right? Right? But what has been done about it so far? You understand? And it goes on and on. There are certain things you say you have to get done, and you go and do them. There's a lot that can be done even before the backhoe is needed. You know, you can get a truck and take the stones and move them, right? No, but it really is that. I mean, I use my store as a barometer for me. You know, I use my mother as a barometer. I use the people in the ashram as a barometer. I use my attitude when I get up in the morning as a barometer. I use dozens and dozens of things to relate where I am inside, you know, as to what my day is. And I look at this, and sometimes, you know, it's like something in a magazine that says, you know, check yes or no and you know how sexy you are. Yeah. Well, I find out that I'm not very spiritual somewhere, that I don't want to do this and I don't want to do this and I don't like this one and I don't like that one and I don't want to go downstairs for breakfast and I don't and I don't and I don't. And, you know, you begin to at least tune in that way, you know? And it really is having some reality against this illusion where at the end of the day, in which everything would have been no instead of everything being yes, you finish and somebody would say, well, how did you do today? Great day, groovy day. You did nothing, nothing. You know, but nothing in you will also admit that it did nothing. It's at least to be conscious that you are a dog today, or you're a piece of shit today, or there's not a muscle in you that wanted to work today. At least you begin to have an awareness of the enemy who exists within you. I mean, we represent in our physical self, you know, that restriction to God. And, I mean, I talked about this last week, you know, where I really felt free because Greg was doing the work that I should do here or can do here. Greg can do it. I'm not needed. So I really feel it. So what's happened all week, I've gotten letters and I've gotten calls from people who have great projects that I can be involved in, great yogic projects and great spiritual projects. I don't want to be involved in that. I mean, I really don't want to be involved in anything on this level. I really want to go up there. And you have to begin to look and see whether things represent a physical thing again or a spiritual thing. I really want to raise my spiritual level. Raising my spiritual level is not to sink, you know, more and more into the physical world. It's really to remove from the physical world. So I have Greg to sit here, and I don't have to be here. And I have Stuart to sit in New York, and I don't have to be there as much. And it's a way of expressing detachment. But I was a teacher for 20 years to allow myself to break that. And so you have to understand this in yourself. You have to have before you can surrender. And a lot of you are talking about surrender when you have nothing to surrender. You have to work yourself into a situation, transcend it, and then you can surrender it. It's easy to talk, money is shit, you know? Have money and give it away, and then see how detached you are from it. Do a job so brilliantly, you know, that you free yourself from it. Do anything wonderfully well. But not doing is not an expression of freedom. It's the expression of being a sloth. It's without muscle. It only has to do with illusion. And you have to understand the difference between doing and illusion. And some of you who know how to work, you know, fine. Then you have to share your work and make it somebody else's reality too. So that you don't become superior in your work, but you use your work to free somebody else. I mean, my development freed Greg, freed Stuart, and freed other people. So it means that my spirituality has within itself the capacity to free. What good is it to see somebody who talks spiritually? And I've watched lots and lots and lots and lots of people, not only in this country, but other places, and they talk spiritual, spiritual, spiritual. You don't see any product coming out of them who's free. Nobody who, if they die tomorrow, would take over and do a really high level and high quality work. And what happens? They drop dead and somebody moves in out of, you know, eeny, meeny, miny, moe. This is the one who's going to be the guru. That's not the way it should be. There should be numbers of people coming who transcend themselves and on a quality level can take over. And this is really what I want this ashram to be. Not a place where, you know, you study for 6 months and go off and harass somebody else into believing that you have a quality, but that you really have in your own self been told that you have this capacity. And I've watched people, you know, who we let start to teach or try to teach, and they came out, it's just like Shakespeare, you know, reading from Shakespeare or some kind of another thing. But you lose the gift that you're given by not working with it. And there is no growth that you can have spiritually which you can maintain. It does not maintain itself. You either grow above it continually or you lose it. And sitting there with the illusion of doing is not the same thing. And you can only tell that you're working spiritually by one thing, and that is that you have to really tear muscles inside. And I know that I'm doing a job talking to you not because of the brilliance of the words, but because of the energy coming up here and going right into my brain. I feel. And this is what you're working for. This is what Kundalini Yoga is about. it's really bringing the energy up your spinal column, making this bump, which ripens, and then it secretes an energy into the brain. And that's the higher consciousness. It's not from a brilliant brain, because that's an intellectual brain. But a spiritual brain is one which is nourished from the mound on top of the head. That's why every Buddha and every statue and every culture that has anything to do with spirituality either has an aura around it or it has a bump, to show that the energy coming does not have to do with a physical level, it has to do with a spiritual level. And as such, it doesn't sit you up in the head, it can nourish you. There's a difference between intellectualizing and nourishing. Nourishment, you know, builds life. And so your effort here, you have to feel inside yourself the drinking in of a force. You have to feel it expand in you, that your muscles and tissue, you know, is really expanding and growing, and you feel the energy coming up your spinal column. If you don't feel that, you are not being nourished, and there is no growth that can possibly be taking place. On a physical level, all you do is get a headache. You know, on a spiritual level, you get another kind of headache, because you can actually feel the expansion. It's like yeast or any kind of bacteria which is expanding. It's a life force which expands in you, and you have every sense of it being more than yourself, because it creates one thing, which is resistance. And unless you feel resistance in you, there's no reality taking place. Because complacency, you know, and insanity have to do with energy which is not harnessed, energy which appears out there, billions of ideas, you know, which have no connectedness because there's no energy connection to them. Consciousness and conscious growth has to do with an evolving dynamic force which raises itself every day just a fraction, so that it's a vital thing. It's like a stem and a flower. It has a root system. You feel the energy coming down. You feel your heart expanding. You feel it through your breath. You feel it through your chakras. You feel it going. Spiritual muscle system that can only be fed minutely a little bit at a time. And the effort that you have to make in having this flow take place in you is a tremendous effort. Everything in you wants to run away, everything in you wants to hide, everything in you wants everything else. But working and consciously breathing in and feeling the secretion of the energy in your body as you work and gather it in is the only thing that can ever free you, because it's a higher energy. It's only done and gathered with tremendous resistance. That's why there are very few people ever who exist on the earth who have within them this kind of a structure. And you see it on the bone structure in someone's head. You see it in every muscle in them when you learn just a little bit more than you know now. But the thing you must understand, conscious work is the transcendency. So it means you are always working consciously, and you are overcoming resistance. It's the only way you can differentiate between an illusion and reality. Because an illusion is something that goes by itself, and conscious work has to do with stretching and overcoming resistance in yourself. Does anyone have a question? Well, it doesn't matter, you know, it doesn't matter at all. Unless you're using your energy or using that energy, if you don't have a very deep, vital inner life, right? And you really haven't honored.
the only time it matters is when you really feel that the growth starts to take its place,
yeah.
And then you use this energy, right? You know, and you feel that you have a sexual experience that is ripping out of you this force that you need. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're seeing the stream, if you're not going to drink it, what are you doing? Right? It's not going to be used for a real reason. It doesn't matter what you're doing. Sexual energy is very strong, very vital energy. But it has no meaning whatsoever unless it's harnessed and used properly. So what if it cannot do? It's like taking your food every day and throwing it, you know, in the compost heap. I mean, if it's not feeding somebody else, it's not feeding you, and it doesn't make any difference.